All right.
Did you Ric Flair?
Oh, Ric Flair. Good call there, man. Good call there. You know the old guys.
Woo! I know about Ric Flair.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. You can listen to us for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, hopefully for a good amount of time here, my power doesn't go out because there's a storm rolling through. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. So let's talk about what happened last week to us.
I didn't know if you wanted to or not.
I'm fine with putting it out there. Last episode, which was about 2-3 weeks ago, we were like, hey guys, we're going to do our end of the year awards and we'll be back next week, blah, 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 blah. And there's probably people out there wondering, like, hey, you know, it's been a while. How come you guys didn't stick to your words? Technically, we did. Technically, we did stick
we
to our guns.
To.
And we recorded an entire show. And I was exporting that show on my computer so I could add in, you know, the bumpers at the beginning and the end. Because guess what, guys? We don't do this live. Big shock there.
Spoilers.
Yeah. You never figure that out from the bloopers at the end of the show. But I was exporting it and my computer crashed. So I have about 14 minutes of our prepped and then actually like 5 minutes for the actual show when we get into what we're going to talk about. I have that on my computer, but that's all it exported was about 14 minutes. And I couldn't recover it. And by the time that this all happened, it was like, what, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we were like, yeah, we'll just do it next week.
I just remember getting a very angry text message from you, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I just, I was so mad, because I thought it was a good show, but, I mean, come on, like, you don't want to do this again. Like, I don't want to, like...
You want to go again? No.
Yeah, like...
It's late, I'm tired.
It's not gonna be the same, but...
No.
You know what? Here we are. So we're still going to do what we were planning to do last week. We're going to do our What the Puckies, our end of the year awards for the top players in the Washington Capitals. And we'll discuss. Actually, it kind of worked out well because some news actually broke within the last couple days. So we actually have some hockey.
Thanks, computer, for crapping out.
Yeah, we actually have some Caps news to talk about. So jam-packed show, man. But should we get right into it with the awards right now?
Yeah, let's start with the awards.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Enjoy yourselves. It is our annual What the Pucky Awards.
Hockey at the best.
All right, everybody, our What the Pucky Awards. There's no Billy Crystal, there's no Neil Patrick Harris, there's no Jon Stewart or James Franco or Anne Hathaway. You got us. We're your hosts for this evening. We won't go 4 hours long like the Oscars or the Golden Globes or anything like that. But here we are. We're here to hand out our What the Puckies. So let's start it off. How about we start off with the... Let's go with the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year. Coach Dan, who are you giving your What the Pucky Award to?
I'm giving my Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year Award to Brooks Orpik. Now, I know that I was one of the ones that was I was against the deal in how much money he was making, but I like the signing. I thought he came in and he gave his team a veteran physical presence on the back line. Yes, he is not the quickest guy out there. He's no John Erskine. But he's definitely not the quickest guy out there. I think he provided exactly what this team needed in a guy who's out there. He's calm. He provides a great veteran presence, and he's able to supplant John Carlson, I thought, very well. I thought they were a great pairing. I thought he's a very good signing. And while his cap, it's going to come back to bite them if he starts to slow down. If he can stay healthy, he's a very good signing in the end. I'm giving my award for this season to Brooks Orpik.
Very good choice. I agree with everything you've said. Just, you know, Put the salary cap aside or whatever, and you do have one of the best defensemen in the league. You do have a guy who's definitely made this this team better. Absolutely, the defense was definitely lacking last year. That was one of the biggest gripes we had the entire year through. And he came in and he did do a lot of great work. Bring that contract in into the talk here. Yeah, that's going to hurt. That's definitely going to hurt in a couple years because he is getting older, and it's going to be hard to argue about paying somebody that much money as they're getting older and not being at the top of their game. But who knows what's going to happen with Orpik? He may have a couple more years in him. We hope so. But I agree with you 100%. He is a great defenseman, great pickup by this team, and I'm happy to see him in a Caps jersey. Now, for me, the Rod Langway Defensive Player of the Year goes to his line mate, John Carlson. John Carlson had a breakout year this year, career high in goals, assists, and points. Really shown what he can do. The Carlsner pairing.
The pairing.
Yeah, that went away, and he worked with Orpik the majority of the year, just like they did in Sochi. I think I even said this when Orpik got signed. I think that was a part of him coming to the Capitals, was that John Carlson was there and they could be line mates. So they worked well together. Obviously, Orpik had an effect on Carlson's game and vice versa. Carlson also picked up for Mike Green when he was hurt, or Trotz liked Carlson better on the power play. He's shown what he can do there. I was impressed all year with John Carlson, so that's my defensive player of the year. So congrats, Brooks Orpik and John Carlson. You guys got the job done this year. All right, next award we're going to go to, how about the surprise of the year? Coach Dan, who is your surprise of the year?
I'm going to give mine to Yevgeny Kuznetsov, and the reason being in that we all expected him to be certainly better than he was at the beginning of the season, and it sort of seemed that it was going to take him a while, maybe a couple of seasons, to turn it around and turn things on and get more comfortable with the league. And then I think he went on to surprise me in the fact that he was able to become the second-line center that this team has desperately needed since they had Sergei Fedorov for just a couple of seasons. And I thought they've been looking for a second-line center, and they've tried things before with Mike Ribeiro, and that didn't work out for one reason or another in terms of keeping him around. And they tried to see if it would work with Grabowski, but he wanted to play with his buddy, and so they went to New York and play on Long Island, although they'll be in Brooklyn soon. And I think that they were kind of lucked it out to some extent that Kuznetsov was able to turn it on like he did towards the end of the season and amazingly in the playoffs. And he is definitely this team's second line center for the future. And I thought he was the biggest surprise of the season.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kuzi. I was so excited to see him come over from the KHL. He spent, 4 years there. We were waiting for him, and he kept hearing he was coming. He showed up, played pretty well, but at the beginning of this season, he definitely had some trials and tribulations he had to go through, but really came through in the postseason, definitely came through towards the end of the season. He adapted well to the U.S. Version of hockey and the NHL way of playing. So great choice with Yevgeny Kuznetsov. So happy that he's here and that he's a Capital. My surprise of the year has to go to Philip Grubauer due to the sheer fact that he's not even a full-time Capital. We have a guy like Justin Peters who is the backup to Braden Holtby, but didn't get called on a lot because there was no faith for Justin Peters from Barry Trotz when Holtby couldn't play or was too sick to play or anything like that. Philip Grubauer was the guy that they called to. I think you're going to see Philip Grubauer in net backing up Braden Holtby this next season. Philip Grubauer did a great job, and let's talk about this a little bit postseason. Braden Holtby comes down with, the flu or didn't feel well or something like that, and they didn't go to Peters in the postseason up against the Islanders. They called on Philip Grubauer. Nothing like getting called up during, a very important Stanley Cup game. Philip Grubauer played well. He showed that he's an NHL-level goalie, and I was impressed with his work. He played a lot last year, played less this year, but this guy's ready. And even though I think it'll be nice seeing him in net next year, it won't be a surprise next year of how good this guy is. But Philip Grubauer, my surprise of the year. Didn't expect to see him a lot, but when we did see him, he was definitely impressive.
I agree. I thought Grubauer was great. I think it's definitely going to be – he's going to make a case to be on the team one way or another next season.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up, let's talk about the Skipjack Prospect of the Year. Coach Dan, who you got?
Well, it's funny what you're talking about, Philip Grubauer, as he is my Skipjack Prospect of the Year.
Ooh, double winner tonight.
He's getting a couple of awards. I thought with the way that he played for Hershey, I think with the way he played with the Capitals, that there's definitely their top prospect going into next season in terms of guys that they can call upon to be able to step in and play when they need. With a guy like Braden Holtby in the roster, it's hard to be a goaltender and see yourself playing a lot of minutes, but if they want to play Holtby just a couple less games than he did this season, he played something, what, like 73, 74 games of the 82 games in the regular season. Was that it? Maybe that's a little less than that. But the point is, he played a ridiculous amount of games, and you need someone to be a backup that you can rely upon. And it seemed at the end of the season they didn't really trust Justin Peters, and that's why they went with Grubauer in the playoffs. And I think that he's definitely going to be their prospect, their top prospect, going into next season. So I'm giving my Prospect of the Year award to Philip Grubauer.
Very nice, very nice. I have a tie, actually, for this one.
Not allowed.
I know. I didn't know who to pick, but these two guys definitely were a little impressive.
Neither one of them gets it now.
First one, I think this guy, if I had to choose, I would go with this guy, but Stan Galiev, or Galiev, I'm sorry, I don't know. You were only up once.
We've heard it two different ways, so.
Yeah. Either way, this guy, he did an amazing job in Hershey. I mean, the dude was a points machine. He was getting goals. We've seen him in the system for a while now. He was with the Reading Royals when they won their Kelly Cup. He had, another Russian dude having a lot of trouble adapting to the NHL U.S. version of hockey. Went through the trials and tribulations, and now the guy is doing an amazing job with Hershey. He played one game up with the Capitals, and it was towards the end of the season. He got an NHL goal. It looked great. This guy was great. I was very impressed with Stan Galiev-Galiev. And he's my Skipjack Prospect of the Year. Honorable mention, I'd have to give to Phoenix Copley. He was a guy who was backing up Grubauer, but he looked great in net. He's already had a goalie fight with his 1 year in Hershey. He's from North Pole, Alaska. He's got candy canes on his mask. I like Phoenix Copley a lot. He backed up Holtby for one game. Didn't really get any playing time, but I like what I see from Phoenix Copley down there in the minors. So big fan of his. Those are my two skipjack prospects of the year. All right, next up, let's go. We're getting into some negative stuff here for the next couple. Uh-oh. So let's do the Jaromir Jagr biggest waste of cap space of the year. Coach Dan, who you got?
This one's always so mean.
I know.
My biggest waste of cap space of the year is not going to be a popular choice.
I'm
going to alienate the ladies. But my biggest waste of cap space of the year is Brooks Like.
Oh.
I think for the amount of money that he is making, he needs to contribute more all around than what he did this past season. Yes, he was very solid defensively, fantastic on the penalty kill. But for the money he's making, and his cap hit is something like 4.5, I believe. Mm-hmm. For that much money, you need to be producing an all-around game, not just a defensive one. And we did not see nearly enough of that from Brooks Like this season. If he was making a million or two less, he would definitely not be my nominee or my winner or whatever we call this for the biggest waste of cap space of the year. But for the money he's making and what they were expecting from him when they gave him that contract, he should be producing much more offensively than he is. So my biggest waste of cap space of the year is Brooks Like.
Man, so I had somebody else, but it was due to the fact that he didn't play the entire year, was Dmitry Orlov. So I had him down for biggest waste of cap space just to the sheer fact that he did not play the entire year. But, man, I kind of have to agree with you with Brooks Like. Yeah, if you listen to past episodes, you know that I'm not a huge Brooks Like fan. I haven't been impressed with what he's done this year. He had a very quiet year. We barely spoke about him. He went on a goal-scoring drought for a long time, starting out 2015. Of course, he's coming back from injury. You know, he really hasn't had a good year for, what, four seasons now, I guess. So it's rough for him to play the entire year and come up short like that. But kind of have to agree with you. Brooks Like, he definitely was the biggest waste of cap space this year. But it also is not, I guess, not a bad thing about this team, because really it's the team is pretty solid as a whole. It's just, you know, it's hard to compete with a lot of these guys who are paid less but producing more, or, you know, making the big bucks like Ovechkin and doing what Ovechkin does. So Sorry, it's so negative, dude. But that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Now let's go with the Adam Oates biggest disappointment of the year. Coach Dan, who you got?
Oh, my biggest disappointment of the year is Dmitry Orlov, and not in the way that he played, but because he didn't play. He wasn't able to get out there season, and I was very excited to see how he was going to play throughout the season. I thought he'd come back to the game, be very strong, be a fantastic seventh defenseman for this team, step in when needed, and unfortunately he just could not stay healthy. And so I think had he played, just like Brooks Lake, had his contract been less, he would not have been my nominee or winner or whatever. I think Dmitry Orlov is my biggest disappointment of the year because we just did not get to see him play enough. Or at all.
You didn't see him at all.
Enough. We didn't see him at all.
You saw him in Hershey a couple games, and then he just kind of...
Not enough, man.
He
not
just
enough.
Traveled with the team a little bit. All right, so my pick, we already talked about him a little bit, Justin Peters. I got to give it to Pete Dog here. Obviously, Barry Trotz and the coaching staff did not have a lot of faith in him. They did call up Philip Grubauer a bunch of times, so he definitely was getting the short straw there. If you don't have faith in your players and you don't think they can win, that's why you see Braden Holtby in net so much. That's why Grubauer got called up. Justin Peters, he looked good when Holtby started a game, didn't play well, and then Peters would come in. He would look good okay there, but it was very obvious that he didn't have the confidence of the team or the coaching staff to go long-term as the backup. So that's my biggest disappointment. He came in just this past year. We thought, oh, he knows what it is to be a backup. He knew he was never going to get that number one spot over Braden Holtby. But even as a backup, you gotta play better than he did this year. And sorry to say it, but Justin Peters, biggest disappointment of the year. What do you think? You think that's a good choice on my part?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough because he's the backup goalie, but you expect the backup goalie to do better than he did. So, I was a little concerned with the fact that Holtby played as many games as he did, and I think that he actually did better than I was expecting, considering how many games that he was playing. And thankfully, he didn't get injured. But, you know, you want a backup goaltender. Look at it like the Rangers had. You want a backup goaltender that can win you a couple of games when your goalie is going to be out. And when you have one of the best goalies in the league go out in Henrik Lundqvist, and you're able to continue playing at a high level because you have a backup goalie in, what's his name, Cam Talbot, who was playing phenomenal for them. That's what you need if you want to be a team that's going to make a deep run in the playoffs. And, you know, it's tough to say the Capitals had this. If, God forbid, knock on wood, Holtby goes down, what's going to happen with the team? And so you need a backup goaltender that's going to be solid, and it was not Justin Peters.
No. So now we're going from...
Sorry, Peters.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. He's
like a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Pete Dog, he had some cool masks again. He put the Abe Lincoln beard on his mask. That was cool, but sorry, bud. All right, so from going from biggest disappointment to the Peter Bondra MVP. Coach Dan, who is your most valuable player for this team?
Well, I think this one's pretty easy. It's got to be Braden Holtby. I mean, he kept them in games that they had no business being a part of, especially early in the season. And his phenomenal play throughout the season and his play into the playoffs, I thought he was easily the best player on the team. And this is going with world-class superstars like Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom, I thought. Holtby was one of the main reasons they were able to even get into the playoffs with the amazing play he had throughout the season. The fact that his numbers, he was top five, and if not better, in a lot of the top goaltending categories. I think Holtby, he got ignored by the NHL in numerous times, so for awards or for the All-Star game. And so for Holtby, which is sort of fine with me, because then he's got less responsibilities and less things bothering him or distracting him from just playing Caps hockey. And so my MVP, my Peter Bondra MVP of the season is Braden Holtby.
You know what, man? I'm right there with you. That's my nominee and winner as well, Braden Holtby. Couldn't be more competent with that guy in net. I've been a huge fan of Holtby for years now, and I kept waiting for this guy to come up and be a full-time Capital, and he kept getting pushed back. You know, the Varley-Nuvi fight. You had Nuvi and Vokoun coming out of nowhere. You got the lockout, so the dude's got to go to Hershey. He comes up, plays with Adam Oates, and Adam Oates is like, you know that...
He changes this guy's style of play.
Yeah, he's like,
hey, like, why aren't you as good as you were before? I wonder, Slick.
Hey, you know that style of play that you're really aggressive and that you do really well in? I don't want you to do that anymore.
Don't do that anymore.
What you want to do is you want to grow extra hands.
Okay, Adam.
So, yeah, so then he gets bumped again. You got Nuvi, you got Grabauer, you've got Holpi, and then Grabauer goes back to Hershey. Nuvi leads town. Halak comes in. Halak's your number one guy. Holpi was always the best of any of the goalies that we've had, in my opinion. I've always been like, why are you getting this guy when you got a guy like Holpi right there? Come on. Look at what he's done in the past. This year, he was able to finally show what he can do. Him and Mitch Korn, I think, worked extremely well together. Mitch Korn knew the style of play that Holpi was comfortable with. He showed Holpi how to make his own style better. And Holpi definitely did that. When Holpi was in net, I was always confident this team would know what to do. Of course, the defense might have not helped him in every single time, but Holpi, he's one of the best in the league. I'm ecstatic that he's with the Capitals. He was definitely the MVP of the year, 100%. He played so many games, and he's got, you know, this is where this guy belongs. Very, very
and
happy.
And it's going to cost them a lot of dollars.
Dude's going to make a lot of money.
He is going to the bank.
All right, so let's go to our last award of this evening. The Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year. Coach Dan, what was the best goal that you got to see this year from the Capitals?
My top goal of the season is the first goal scored for the Capitals this season and the first of his NHL career in Andrei Burakovsky.
Subban lost it to the slot. Score! Bang, bang, it didn't take long for Andrei Burakovsky.
I was lucky enough to be at this game. Even though they ended up losing, I thought it was great to see this kid score his first goal in the NHL. And then he had a bit of a struggle throughout the rest of the season, and I had to drop him for my fantasy team. Things happen. But, I thought he ended up playing great in the end, and I thought his goal against the Rangers, I don't even know which one was better, the first one or the second one in that game against the Rangers, but I think this kid is going to be amazing going into the future with him and Kuznetsov as sort of the second pairing of the Swede-Russian Burakovsky's Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Was he like born in Austria but then raised in Sweden but then was in the U.S. for a while? He's confusing. I don't know where he's from. The point is, they're going to be the second dynamic duo going forward. And so my Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year goes to Andrei Burakovsky.
You know, a great pick there. First one of the year. First one for this kid. He skipped right over Hershey. He went from the Erie Otters right to the Washington Capitals, and then he went back to the Hershey Bears. But he was able to skip over the AHL for the first couple months of the season. It was very obvious that this guy had skill. He came out swinging, and I just couldn't get over how fast he was. I mean, you see this guy going down the ice, and you're like, "Holy crap! Look at him! He's got like rockets on his he's got rockets on his skates going to that goal.
He's a little quick."
So I was very happy to see that, but absolutely great goal. I mean, great way to start the season. Great way to introduce yourself to the fan base. So my Holy Jumpin' Goal of the Year. All right, I'll set you a stage for you, Coach Dan. You ready for this? Okay.
All right, here you go.
I'm getting dramatic.
Okay.
January 1, 2015. National Stadium. Outside.
Oh, dude, you messed up. It's Nats Park.
Well, I'm from Baltimore, like I know. Outside in the elements. The really bright sunlight. 13.
Better in the game in Pittsburgh. Really bright lights because they had to play the game later because it rained.
Right. 13 seconds left. Troy Brouwer becomes the savior of the Washington Capitals on New Year's Day in the Winter Classic on a national stage, international if you really think about it, because that game is viewed all over the world. Troy Brouwer comes out. Here he is. 13 seconds left. Ovi's running all over the place. He's skating all over the place. He's got a broken stick, and there's all this stuff going on in front of the net, and boom, Brouwer is able to get that goal. The Brouwer Rangers go crazy, and here we are outside, 13 seconds left. The Capitals get to win at home in front of the hometown crowd. What a great goal.
Ovechkin tried to follow up. Loose puck. Chuck. Score! It's 3-2 with 12.9 to go.
That's my goal of the year. Troy Brower, Winter Classic, game-winning goal. All right, so that is about it for our What the Puckies. I hope you guys really enjoyed them. That's just a look back. You know, it's only been a couple of weeks without Caps hockey. I already miss it, but good to look back and remember the good times, I guess, while other two teams get to fight over the cup now. Before we move on to Down on the Farm, there is a little bit of Caps news. Let's talk about this coach. Nick Backstrom has surgery, off-season surgery. I believe it's to a hip that he's having a problem with. And it looks like he's going to be ready for training camp. But this kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't know Baggy was having any kind of hip problems.
They did a good job keeping this one under wraps, because I don't think anybody knew about it until after it had happened.
Yeah.
The team released a statement saying that he underwent successful arthroscopic surgery on his hip last Wednesday, and through a statement said that they fully expect him to be ready for the start of next season. So that is a good sign, knowing that he should be good to go next season. They said by the start of the regular season, which I thought was a little bit of a concern, but hopefully he'll be ready to go by, you know, training camp and the preseason games and stuff like that, so he can be ready back out there playing on the first line with Ovechkin and whoever their right winger may be that they bring in through. I doubt free agency, who they bring in through a trade.
Through a trade. Or if they're still going to try out Tom Wilson. I don't know.
No. See, no, man.
You're so defensive.
No, he's not good enough yet. All right. I want them to go out and acquire a guy who's like 25 through 28, 29, right? I mean, you get a younger guy that's to play on the first line, by all means. But you get a guy who can be in here for years, and then you can put Wilson on the second line eventually, not next season, or at least not at the beginning of next season, on the second line with Burakovsky and Kuznetsov.
That would be a good line.
Fast guys running around with the puck and Wilson hitting everybody and putting himself in front of the goal and being like, good luck. Try and get around me. You know, so that would be my hope.
Yeah. Man, who was the guy that you were dying to have come to the Capitals a couple years ago? Bobby Ryan. Oh, man,
that would have been awesome.
You so wanted Bobby Ryan on this team.
I did want Bobby Ryan on this team because he would have been damn good.
He would have been.
Hold on. I'm going to look at how he was doing in where is he? Ottawa. Well, it's also because I knew he was going to be available.
Yeah.
Not like you where I'm just like, I want Patrick Kane. I want the best players in the NHL. His picture when you type into Google, the Senators jersey kind of looks like a Caps jersey. And I was like, oh, my God. No, it didn't happen. I don't just go out for players and being like, I don't want the best players in the NHL, let's go get them. Even though it would cost you just so much to bring in a guy like, you could have gotten Evander Kane, but I don't know if you want that kind of headache. The Sabres had to give up a decent amount to get him, but whatever. Let's see, last season with Ottawa, 18 goals, 36 assists, so you got 54 points. Not terrible. You put him on line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, you certainly get a lot more than that. So I would have gone for it. I don't remember what it cost him, though, in a trade. We have to go back and look.
Yeah,
not that it matters anymore because they didn't get him.
No. I was just trying to remember like who you were like. You kept bringing him up, and yeah, that was the guy.
because he's really good.
He is.
I'm right.
All right, so
I'm right and Brandon's wrong.
I hear that all the time. So what else? What else we got to talk about in Caps world?
That's it. No, I'm just kidding. There is a report out of Elliot Friedman, who works in Hockey Night in Canada. Now he had something come out. He does this from time to time. He does his 30 thoughts. Where he 30 thoughts about the NHL and different teams. And the latest one, yeah, I know, 30 thoughts and 30 things. That's crazy. Two of them were about the Capitals. Now, one of them is he has no confirmation, which then makes you go, okay. So you just kind of throwing stuff out there and hoping it sticks. Kind of like the European press when it comes to European football, when they just kind of throw things out there and hope for the best that something that they throw out there might actually be right. But he says the contract talks are underway between the Capitals and restricted free agent Braden Holtby. Now, he's their top priority, which I went, no kidding. Obviously, he's their top priority. It's not going to be anybody else. Not right now. Once they sign him, then things will get interesting. Apparently, GM Brian McClellan and Holpe's agent David Kay did not return messages. Shocker there. But another source has described opening conversations as optimistic. Duh. Like, it's not news right now. Except for the interesting part is that they want to sign him for a longer-term deal, which I thought would be interesting. I would have thought they'd we'd heard earlier that Holpe wanted to do a one-year deal, but if they sign him to a long-term deal, that's even better, especially if you keep that cap hit down. Holpe's two seasons away from being an unrestricted free agent. If you let him get to being an unrestricted free agent, then you have a problem on your hands. Yeah. But apparently he says the belief is that the Capitals are more than willing to buy into those years. So that will be interesting. The other note about the Capitals that he has is regarding the end of the season media conference where McClellan said he was looking to add a top six winger. Also, duh. Although word is out, apparently, that teams should not even bother asking about Andrei Burakovsky or Yevgeny Kuznetsov. So it sounds like neither one of those guys will be anywhere even involved in any sort of trade talks, which I certainly think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do with Holpe. I think we talked about it last episode, or it might have been the one that we completely just missed because of errors of my computer. I don't remember, though, but I said that I would bring Holpe back, of course, but I would do a one-year deal to get him through the next season and just see what he brings. But honestly, if you can lock him down, I guess the best thing is to do it. Of course, that is going to affect how you pay everybody else. And with so many unrestricted free agents right now, with Jay Beagle and Mike Green and Joel Ward and Eric Fair, just to name a few, Glenn Cross, Gleason out there as well. What are you going to do with those other guys if you're going to pay Holpe so much? That's the job of the GM. But
well, we'll see how much they actually end up paying him.
Yeah, Holpe is the big question mark right now, because not is he going anywhere. The big question mark is how much is he going to make?
How much is he getting in a paycheck?
How many millions of dollars
every 2 weeks? I'm assuming that's how it works.
I don't know how it works, man. But
I mean, I'm assuming you get a paycheck every two. Do they have direct deposit?
Well, like I don't know how that.
I don't know. I don't imagine like after a practice, like every other Friday, someone's standing there in the locker room going, "Here you go. Here you go. Here you go." Like handing out paychecks. Like I still work at summer camps, but like when I was younger as a counselor working at summer camp, and you'd be all excited going to look at your paycheck, and then you like see someone else's paycheck who was a higher level than you, and you'd be like, "Oh, I wish I made that much." You got to kind of imagine if there's guys like Volpatti get their paycheck, and then they see like Ovechkin's paycheck, and you're just like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Or the fact that like one paycheck for Ovechkin is probably more than I make in a year. That's probably more than a lot of us make in a year.
It's like you and me combined plus, you know, a couple of our friends.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works, but they got to get a good amount of money because they all start up charity foundations so they can, you know, do a tax write-off at the end of the year and get that money back.
That's not the only reason they would do it.
That's the main reason why not just hockey, but all sports players have foundations is because it's a tax write-off. Because
they want to be nice and good people.
That's in the back of their mind, but
you're a hater.
Hey, I love everything that they do working in the community. Every single athlete who's out there helping kids and doing scholarships and that kind of stuff, you are 100% okay. But the main reason you do it is to keep a lot of the money you make, and so they can't tax it any more than what you're doing already. It's business. That's how it works. Let's not confuse that, but that's how it works. But you know, it's okay. That's all right, whatever. So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. Now let's go down on the farm. But before we do, here is a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, let's hand out one more What the Pucky award to me. What was your favorite nickname I gave you for this segment this year?
None of them. They're all terrible.
Come on. Danny Dirt.
Nope. Not playing along.
Farmer Man Dan, Milkman
not
Dan.
Not going to do it. Not doing it.
Danimal Farm. I think that was my favorite. Actually, Rockadoodle Dan was really good too. I like that one as well.
Anyways.
Oh, memory lane.
Oh, it needs to end. All right, so with Hershey knocked out of the Calder Cup playoffs, let's check in on South Carolina, where the Stingrays are playing in the Kelly Cup Finals and are currently up 1-0 over the Allen Americans. Where's Allen? I had no idea. I had to look it up. Not a clue. I was like, where the hell is Allen? I don't know. Is it named after a person?
I know Allentown in Pennsylvania.
That's not it. Isn't Allentown near Reading? I don't know. What
I think it's somewhere. That's a big state. I don't know.
I think you go through Allentown to get to. Doesn't matter. Point is, I don't know where Allen is. I had to look it up. Games 2 and 3 are also in Allen, which it turns out is in Texas.
Oh. Clear eyes, full hearts can't lose.
They are the what?
Clear eyes, full hearts can't lose. Friday Night Lights. You didn't watch that show? It was great.
I did not.
Oh, so good. So yeah. Good.
I thought the movie was okay. They are the ECHL affiliate of the Worcester Sharks and the San Jose Sharks. So they play games 2 and 3 in Allen on Tuesday and Wednesday, while games 4 through 6 are in South Carolina next Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with game 7, if necessary, being back in Texas. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Yeah, I do have to tell you, after we got done doing our show last week and after the computer crashing and me, you know, crying tears because I got ticked off, I listened to, what was it, double overtime, triple overtime of game 7 with the South Carolina Stingrays.
Oh, yeah, I heard that guy's call.
Yeah, on the Caps radio app.
He's a little excited.
Very excited. But I listened to it, I think 12:30 is around when they stopped broadcasting. Great game. At least it sounded great. I listened to it after the computer crashed and we lost everything. I was so upset. I didn't turn my TV on. I just like kind of sat on my couch and I was like, I'm just listening to this game. That's all I'm doing. Stingrays win it for me, make me feel better. And luckily they did. So there you go. We still got some Caps guys playing some hockey right now down in South Carolina. Hopefully they win a Kelly Cup. That could be – maybe we're the good luck charm, Coach Dan, because that could be the second Kelly Cup that we have covered with What the Puck since we started.
Oh, that's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Different teams.
Different teams, but we're covering
them.
You're
welcome.
Exactly. You all are welcome. Congrats, South Carolina.
We do it for you.
Do it for you, man.
Formerly East Coast Hockey
League. Yeah.
I don't know. Now there's the ECHL. What's it stand for? I don't know.
Just like, yeah, we're just sticking with it. It's like MTV. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's also the league that got parodied in Goon. Another good movie. Man, we're doing all kinds of references tonight. I love it. All right.
You've been every night.
Yeah, I know. It's just the way I talk. All right, so that's pretty much it. For down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Not a lot going on except for the Stanley Cup Finals. Blackhawks Lightning coming down to 7 games of hockey, and then we got no hockey until October. If you count the preseason, September, but it's barely hockey. All right, so Coach Dan, tell us what is going on around the NHL.
Well, let's start off in Buffalo, who has a new head coach, as they have hired former Penguins coach Dan Bylsma. So the team's next head coach. So he's taken over a team with the second pick in the draft. They have a crazy man in Evander Kane and no goaltender.
Oh boy!
Well, but they're going to have a very solid head coach. He seems to be very excited about moving on into Buffalo. So I hope he's bought a winner coach.
I am shocked it took this long for Dan Bylsma to get another job in the NHL. I honestly, dude is great. He's a great coach. I have always been impressed with his work, even though he's with Pittsburgh. But he's a great coach. It took people this long to get him hired to another team. That's crazy to me. Yeah, he didn't really do that well in Sochi with the USA team, but I mean, overall, I was always impressed. I'm just shocked about that.
Yeah, I was a little surprised it took this long, but I think Buffalo lucked down. They got himself a solid head coach, and we'll see how he does next season. Pretty much all the news right now is coaching stuff. San Jose hired former Devils coach Pete DeBoer to be their next head coach. They did that on last Thursday. New Jersey will hire former Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins head coach John Hines tomorrow, on Tuesday, or today if you're listening to this on Tuesday, to be their new head coach. St. Louis and head coach – I've said coach a lot in the past few minutes. St. Louis head coach Ken Hitchcock agreed to a one-year deal to remain head coach – see, there it is again – of the Blues. And finally, Ottawa general manager Brian Murray will step down from his position with the Senators next season. Murray has been battling with stage four colon cancer. Oof. Let's check in on the Stanley Cup Finals, where Tampa Bay has saved the world in our way of life by defeating the evil and dubious New York Rangers in Game 7. They go on to play for a chance at Lord Stanley's Cup against the Chicago Blackhawks, who beat Anaheim in 7 games. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
Let me tell you, I posted this on Facebook when this happened, but I was like, Tampa Bay Lightning going on to the Stanley Cup Finals. Did not see that coming. I think we went over like our quarterfinals and everything, and I'm like, you know, the Lightning, they might get past Detroit. They might not. I don't know. They're definitely not getting past Montreal.
I think we both had them getting past Detroit.
Yeah, but then against Montreal, now we didn't see them there. Are you shocked that Tampa Bay has gotten this far? I'm a little, I mean, good on them, but I'm a little surprised.
Good on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I didn't think they'd get quite this far. I thought they'd get past Detroit, but I think they'd run into a little bit more trouble. I thought they would have had a harder time with Montreal than they seem to. And you know, but I thought they're a solid team, and they certainly showed that. But should we make our predictions now?
Yeah.
Now that we're going to have much other time to do it, we might as well.
Yeah, we might as well. Let me also just point out, I always pick the Blackhawks to go this far. All the way through. When I did the brackets and everything, they were my team for the West. Just pointing that out there. All right, go ahead. Who do you think is going to win it all?
I'm going Blackhawks in 6.
I'm right there with you. Blackhawks, once again, I believe will be the Stanley Cup champions, making CM Punk very happy. But with the way Tampa Bay has been playing, I think it's going to go to Game 7. It's going to be a very fun series to watch. But Chicago, they know the landscape of the Stanley Cup playoffs. All of their important pieces are there. Chicago, I think, is going to be raising that cup once again. Clark Griswold also would be very happy.
Yeah, well, he's a fictional character.
I have a Blackhawks Griswold jersey I wear on Christmas time, but that's it. But
of course you do.
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. All right, so I think that's pretty much it for the show. Anything else going on around the NHL, or was that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, there was like a prospect trade between Tampa Bay and Toronto. I think it was earlier today or earlier in the week, and late last week, and I was like, that's interesting. One team just eliminated the other, and they made a trade.
Hey, sorry about that. Can we get one of your guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Can we have him now, please?
All right. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. If you guys want to tell us who you think is going to win the Stanley Cup, is it going to be the Blackhawks or the Lightning? Definitely continue to talk to us throughout this offseason. You can always tweet to me or Coach Dan. Very cool. Let me just say this. I don't know when we'll do a show again. Of course, we do have stuff like free agency and the draft and the developmental camp coming up. But we're not going to be doing the weekly shows anymore because there's really nothing to report. When Holtby gets a new contract, we'll do a show.
Yeah, when something happens, we'll be there.
We'll be there. But for weekly shows, this is pretty much it up until training camp starts. But, I just want to say thanks to everybody for tweeting to us and Facebooking us and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter, all that good stuff, because it has been a blast watching the last couple.
Yeah, I need a couple more.
You need a couple more followers.
I'm at 193.
Oh, all right, you're close.
Get me to 200.
Hey, why aren't you following Coach Dan? Come on. But this
I say fun stuff.
All the time, and he watches European football a lot.
I do watch Euro football. Arsenal FA Cup champions, what up? That's right. Suck it, Liverpool.
Oh man, Liverpool! Wow.
I mean, I didn't play any game. I just felt like
saying that. Yeah, it has been a blast this season getting to know a lot of you guys and talking to you guys. I love the passion the Caps fans have, and who knew that there was such a big following for the Capitals and for the NHL over in England? It has been so cool talking to you guys over in England and Great Britain and United Kingdom and that whole area. I know that people live in different parts and they call it different things and stuff, but I'm an American. I don't know that much history about it, except, you know, the normal stuff. But it has been a blast talking to you guys.
Kick the ball with your foot.
Yeah, yeah, that's the football part. But it has been a blast getting to talk to you guys and talking and Facebooking and tweeting and everything. So continue to do that in the off season. Let us know who you think is going to win the Stanley Cup, the Blackhawks or the Lightning. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can't. I just got off of Twitter.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so you can't even follow. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which there are many on eBay that are way overpriced. You people have lost your damn minds. $40 for a bobblehead. Nope, nope.
That's pretty cheap. You got a Verizon sender at least $45.
Yeah, but that's because you're crazy.
I only did that once. Did that once.
Yeah, that's one time too many.
Now that it's summer, I'm going to go to the O's, and I want that Buck Showalter
I want that one.
I want the lawn gnome, man. I want it so bad.
Oh, wait, it's a lawn gnome?
Oh, it's a lawn gnome. Oh, that's right.
I don't really want it anymore.
Yeah, you do. You know you do.
I take it back.
Like, all right. If you want more information about What the Puck or any of the stuff Brando Cash Entertainment does, you can go to BrandoCash.com. That's where you get all the information you're ever going to need. Also, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, as well as following us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, whenever we're about to do a show, whenever we have cool hockey news, we see something online, we want you guys to see it as well. That is where to find it all out. So like us, follow us, do all that good stuff. We'll continue to talk hockey, even if it's something small, like, you know, something's going on with USA hockey or something's going on with the Olympics. We'll at least put it on our Facebook and Twitter, and you guys can read it as well. So follow us, talk to us, do all that cool stuff. Now, we do this show for free. You guys know the spiel here. You guys listen for free. We record the show for free. Sometimes computers crash, but we do a show anyway, so you guys can eventually hear it, okay? So we need you guys to help us out. We've had a great number of new listeners this year. It has been awesome. We've hit a couple milestones ourselves. I mean, we're over 100 episodes of What the Puck. How cool is that? We have the potential of 2 Kelly Cup finals being covered on What the Puck. What else have we done, Coach? We've covered the Olympics. We've covered international hockey. We've covered lockout hockey. We've covered the KHL. We cover the Capitals. Anything lockout to do with the Capitals. Hockey. Everything,
oh,
man.
Oh, the good old days.
Those good old days.
So what's going on this week? Nothing. All right, we'll talk next week.
Hey, guys, I think the lockout's going to end. I think it might end this week.
Oh, that was the worst.
You remember?
Did it come out really? Nope.
Oh, man. All right, so we do this show. We've done over 100 episodes. What we need you guys to do is spread the word about the podcast, okay? It is free for you to download, so it's an easy sell for your friends, man. Just think about it, all right? So we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. You guys listen to it for free. All you got to say is, hey, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. It might not be hockey season for me anymore, but I'm still listening to What the Puck. They're going to cover the draft. They're going to cover developmental camp. They're going to cover free agency. So you guys should subscribe to them. You should listen to them and get yourself ready for the 2015-2016 season. All right. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. It's been a fun season, Coach. It's always a blast talking to you about hockey. I can't wait till we get
and
to do this again.
Now it's over.
Now
we get to watch the last few episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. I don't watch that show.
Oh, man, last night was crazy. They had zombies.
That's what I hear.
Not only do they have zombies, they had running zombies who know how to use weapons.
Ooh.
Which is just not fair. That is some BS.
All right, Coach Dan and I will be back over the summer. We're starting up a new podcast called
If the Zombies Get Us.
Fear the Walking Dead Podcast.
Sorry, now you're just stealing from Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris. You got enough money. Give me something.
That's so true.
All right, guys. Have a great summer. Remember, stick to our Facebook and our Twitter, okay? Because Coach Dan and I have been talking. We want to do some other stuff over the summer, hockey-wise. We're going to talk about it throughout the next couple of weeks, set something up. We wanna continue talking and doing everything we can to keep hockey, you know, in the front of our minds. So stick to our Facebook and Twitter. We got some cool stuff coming up, and who knows who might be stopping by? Who knows what we'll be talking about? Who knows?
My dog might be on the show again.
Luna might have something to say. You know, all that good stuff. But thank you guys so much for listening this season. We hope you guys enjoyed it. But until we talk again, Braden Holtby's going to get paid no matter what.
There he is.
We'll be back to discuss how many commas that guy's going to have in his bank account. But until we do that, everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
I'm going to edit this probably tonight.
I would save it right goddamn now. Maybe a couple of times.
Yeah. Let me stop.
That's Wayne's World. That doesn't even fit.
You know, the guy that I used to work with never saw Wayne's World.
That guy needs to stop whatever he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Redbox. Where I'm assuming they have,
just and
go watch Wayne's World. And if you have to skip work, go watch it.
That's just like you and Drive, you know, that's what, same thing.
I still haven't watched that. Okay, hold on, we have a little bit of news breaking.
You son of a bitch.